Y'all be beefing with us. What's her name again?
That I'm always beefing with?
Yeah, what's her name? Come on.
You just said her.
No. That's
bad. You don't know? You don't know? Because I don't say her name. Right, so, like, cool. So then there.
Okay.
So she, let's just go ahead on and give it out to the people. I don't fucking say her name.
We're not going to talk about it.
No, well, even that thing of not being authentic is fascinating. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Hot Boxing. I'm Eben Britton.
And I'm Mike Tyson.
And Mike, we've got, like I was saying earlier, we've got a strong, powerful female in the house
big
tonight.
Time. Big time.
That's awesome. And your husband?
And my husband is in the building. He's busy.
Tammy Roman, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No, it's a pleasure. Thanks for
Absolutely.
Being here.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure having you here. You know, we are big... Big fans of the divine feminine and the rising feminine consciousness in our society and the ethos of the world. So it's great to have you here and to
Thank
bring
you.
That perspective into the hot box.
Let's do it.
So let's just go back to the beginning. Where are you from?
I'm originally from White Plains, New York.
Okay.
I know where White Plains is at.
Yes.
White Plains.
Yes. Up your way.
Yeah.
Way back when.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And you grew up in New York, grew up on the East Coast?
I grew up, I was born in Mount Vernon, raised in White Plains, left New York when I was 15 years old. My mom moved to California. And then I ended up in Long Beach.
Oh, wow.
So went to Long Beach Poly. With some of your other friends, Snoop and Warren G.
You went to school with those
wow.
guys?
Wow.
Yes.
That's a trip.
Yes.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, too.
I know. I saw that
yeah.
one.
Well, what was that like back in the day? I mean...
You know, coming from New York to California is always a culture shock, no matter what.
Yeah.
But, you know... Everybody was very receptive to me, you know, like Long Beach was a good place back then and it was a good time. You know what I mean? Like it was the freaking late 80s, 90s. Like I feel like those were the best years of my life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fuck,
Renaissance of hip hop. Yeah.
Best time.
Yeah, it was so good in the 90s, you know, and then, you know, kind of finished school here in California and then started working at an HIV healthcare center, you know, wow. back in the early 90s when, you know, we didn't know what was going on. And
what would make you want to work there?
Because I have this maternal nature about myself where it was just like, you know, seeing so many of my friend Eazy-E, you know, had passed from it at the time. And I was like, I want to find out more and I want to do more and I want to help more and I want to be a part of the movement.
I knew a girl I worked in the center. She said it was just so depressing.
Well, see, that's why I ended up leaving was because I was running like the drug program there at the time. I was like the vice president of the drug program. And, you know, you're passing out meds one week and then they're supposed to show up for their appointment the next. And then you hear that they pass. So eventually at that age, I was 23 and I was like, this is too much.
Yeah.
This is too much.
Same thing, my friend had to
it's
leave.
Really
to,
heavy.
To the press.
Yeah, it was a lot, you know.
In that center, what was the mindset? Like, what did people think was happening?
You know, at that time, here again, this was 92, 93, so people didn't really know what was happening. You know, we didn't really have a gauge
it's probably
on.
10 years old now. But that time it was probably 10 years old. Eight.
And still, they
right.
had no
and
idea.
We still had no idea. You know, like, our greatest references, particularly for the African-American culture, were Magic and then Easy, you know, and we couldn't really figure out, you know, is this something that's going to take us down or are we going to be like, you know, Magic and survive this thing? And but we really had no knowledge. We really had no education on the disease. So it was really, really new. But here again, I couldn't stay. I couldn't stay.
Yeah.
You know, my intent was right with my heart, but my emotional well-being was suffering from staying in that environment.
I believe it.
Yeah. But from, you know, something good came out of it because I got on The Real World, which was the
How did you get on
wow.
that?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's that about?
Take us there.
That? Yeah, yeah.
Take us there.
Well, one of my coworkers had actually auditioned for The Real World. I didn't know what it was. And she came in my office. And she was like, oh, I didn't make it on the show. And, you know, I'm so bummed. And I was like, what show? And she's like, The Real World. Had never heard of it. I was like, oh, girl, you'll be fine. See you Monday.
This is at the center?
This is at the center.
Oh, my God.
And so go home that weekend, and MTV was doing a marathon of The Real World. And I sat there and watched it. And then I told my mom about it. And I was like, you auditioned for something like this? Shit, you know, I'll try that shit. And so we went to the mall, Burbank Mall, and she filmed me. Like, we had the fucking video camera that had the tape on the side. I don't know if anybody remembers them shits. I'm not even talking about the little one. I'm talking about the real VHS tape.
Yeah.
So we walked around the Burbank Mall.
Are you too young for that moment? I came in.
On the tail end?
Yes.
We were transitioning to the little small ones,
the
little high-eights.
Small ones.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I was around for the big joint. And we walked around the mall, and she taped me. And then that Monday, I called out from the healthcare center and went to MTV's offices to take them my tape.
Wow.
And they were like, get the hell out. We're not, you know, that's not how it works type of thing. And I'm like, no, you're going to look at my tape. And I caused such a ruckus in the lobby that the casting director came out and was like, okay, fine, I will look at it. So she watched it for like 5 minutes and like, are you satisfied? And I was like, yeah, you know. And then a week later, they called me and said, we'd like to offer you the slot on the show.
That's so brilliant.
So, you know, history proves itself that destiny is strong.
It's perseverance and will. You refuse to be turned down.
Yeah.
You refuse to tell them that you will see it later. You want them to see it now.
I wanted them to watch my tape. Now, I don't know if she watched any more after that 5 minutes, but I feel like it was more the impression that I left on her.
Yeah.
That it was like, you guys got to look at this girl. You got to, you know, take notice.
Hell yeah.
So, yeah.
I love that. This is not how it works here.
Yeah, this
here.
Is not
you're like,
how
fuck
it
that.
Works.
Yes, it is. Because I think that's true with anything in life,
I was
you know?
At, one day I was just looking, one of these audio books was on today, and I was looking at some, it was fucking Laws of Power, right? And they were talking about you had to distinguish yourself from anybody else and be noticed.
This is true.
That's one of the laws of power, to be distinguished without offending anybody and be noticed. Outshine everyone else but the master.
But the master. I was going to piggyback you and say, and there's also something in there that talks about master-slave.
That's number one.
Master-slave.
That's the number one.
Yeah.
Don't outshine the
master. Don't outshine the master. Yeah.
That's number one.
Yeah. Yeah. And recognizing which role you play in the dynamic. And understanding that thought process. You know what I mean? Because sometimes you're the master.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And what is this book?
48 Laws of Power.
Bobby Green, his whole book.
Wow.
But it talks about dictates about what happens in history, and they explain what can happen if it does, if it fails, if you do the wrong shit. You know, it's just an awesome book.
Great for entertainment. That's on my list.
Yeah, you should read that one.
Yeah.
It'll be good.
Yeah.
It'll be good.
So what was that like, The Real World? That's sort of the that is sort of the seed.
You have to have guts and
heart. Well, we didn't even know what the hell it was,
right?
Because it wasn't a thing. You
right.
know, like now when you talk about reality TV, it's like, do you really want to do that? You know what I mean? But then it was like, shit, I get to live at the beach. You guys are going to pay me.
This was Real World LA?
This was Real World LA.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was like, I'll do that because I'm trying to leave here anyway.
Yeah.
So let me move on to my next gig.
Yeah.
You know, so it was one of those moments. And moving into the house with, you know, the six other people was new because Real World was supposed to be a soap opera. It was developed by Mary Ellis Bunim and John Murray, and they didn't have the budget to hire actors. So they said, well, let's do the same concept and just put real people in it. And so history was born by way of the first installment in New York.
Whoa.
Yeah,
it's
we were
sort
the second.
Of what people are interested in to watch.
Yeah, very.
Well, everybody's voyeurs by nature.
Yeah, I
you know what I mean?
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, they really are.
I never understood, why do I care about these people?
Because
but I do care.
Right, right.
Why do I care about the fucking Kardashians? But I do care about them. And they do make me look at them.
Yeah, but you know why you look? Because it's sometimes it's a fucking train wreck.
Yeah.
And you're like, sometimes shit in your life is so fucked up, you're like, let me see who else is fucked up.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
somebody else has to be going through something. It can't just all
anybody,
be me.
If you don't care what race and nationality, you've done that before. Oh, shit. You for real? This bitch said she said that? And you can't believe they said it. You heard that's one of your secrets.
Somebody said it on
that's one of your big secrets. And somebody said it on television. Holy
it's
shit.
It's therapeutic.
It is, in a weird kind of way.
In a weird way.
Yeah.
No, it's nothing weird about it. It's people, and this is
right.
what we do.
Right.
We're mirrors.
It's a reflection, or it's a mirror.
Yeah,
mirror.
Exactly.
Exactly. Well, that was sort of the
launching pad.
Yeah, and even though I think in our culture it was sort of the original social media in a way.
I wouldn't say it was the original social media. What I would say is that it was the pioneer of a genre that opened up real people for just like the that. Just that's what we just said, to be able to look
one
in.
One of the greatest things ever made, reality shows. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest things in mankind, the history ever made, reality shows.
Wow, it's crazy that the concept, real world
because
this
is what we avoid. This is what we do all our life avoiding. So the majority, 99% of us do our whole life avoiding ourselves.
Yeah.
True.
Then we see ourselves.
Then you see yourself.
And sometimes we accept it. We don't like ourselves. We're constantly trying to improve ourselves. Yeah. You know what I mean? Why do we constantly try to improve ourselves? Mm. Why? Tell me. Why do we do that? We're growing old. We're going to die. Why do we constantly improve ourselves?
Because there's something to be said about evolvement. So when you say, why are we constantly trying to improve ourselves, I think that also is a humanistic nature of people. Just like, not just humans, animals. They're constantly trying to improve.
Then tell me, then why are some people just homeless and no matter how much money you give them, they won't take it. That's just right there. This is what I want to do. I don't want to be helped. This is what I want
to
do.
Well, doesn't that speak to what you just said earlier, which was your drive and your tenacity? If you don't have the will to want to do something else, I think it's innate. I think it's...
Did he at one time
it's
have
innate.
That?
It's innate.
Did he at one time have that tenacity? How do you lose that?
Well, the universe is constantly expanding. And we are a microcosm of the universe. Mm-hmm. And so, and like you were saying, everything is constantly in motion and progressing and moving to the next thing. And so it really is. It's an innate characteristic of being human where you're constantly striving to be better
way. But to speak to your point, you said, why do people lose that? Because sometimes life knocks you down so much or to a point that you, even though you have that drive, you don't actually know how to recover. And some people, you know, like even, you know, to speak to my personal situation, I used to be married to a professional athlete, Kenny Anderson, and we got divorced. And, you know, there was a point in my life where it was really hard for me, like a year and a half of my life, it was really hard for me. Now, I could have been the type of person of like, all right, well, this is just kind of what it is, and go back to working a regular job and stay complacent and in that moment. But there was something inside of me that was like, that's, you know, you don't work at a healthcare center and end up on TV. That's not how it goes. Mm-hmm. So I felt like my destiny was something bigger, there was a bigger purpose. So I could have said, all right, this is how it is. You know, I'm on EBT. You know, I'm just going to live my life like this with my kids in this little three-bedroom house. Or do I understand what my destiny is? Do I still have the drive that I had when I was 19, 20, 21 to want something more for myself? And so I went out to get it.
Mm. So what do you call that? What do you call that energy right there? What do you call it? Do you call it common sense, or you call that your ego, or do you call it determination? What do you call that?
I would like to think it's determination. I would like to think it's tenacity. I would like to think it's perseverance, rather than defeat, having a defeatist attitude. You know what I mean? And it's not a common sense thing, because common sense implies that we all know how to do it, like we should know how to do it. And sometimes that's not a person's upbringing. That's not a person's character. That's not how they were developed from a child. So it's not a common sense thing. Some people don't know. But for me in particular, you know, my mom worked three jobs. So all I saw was my role model was somebody who got up and worked. And no matter what was going on in our lives, she was going to get it. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it would be, you know, diminishing the legacy of her and honoring of her to just be complacent with a situation that was negative. with a situation that was belittling, with a situation that was less than what I am actually here to do. Mm. So I had to go get it in a nutshell.
That's a great articulation of that. I don't know, that mechanism of our psyche, because it's not, you know, it's, you're right. It's not common.
No.
You know, it's not something that everybody has. Not everybody has that. You know, people get crushed by life.
They get crushed by life. Like,
all
really
the time,
and truly. Let me tell you something. If I told you all the shit that I have gone through, I really should have jumped off the GWB. Like, real talk. But, you know, I'm just not, I don't look at things as, they're going to take me down. I've been homeless. I've been molested. I've been raped. I've been, you know, like all of those things have been in the history of my life's journey. Now, somebody else would not have been able to survive mentally. I'm not talking about physically. They're still here, but I'm talking about mentally. But for me, it was a matter of, you know, I've been in an abusive relationship. I've been, you know, like it's the gamut of everything that I've experienced in my life, and a lesser person would not be here. But for me, I try to look at everything as a lesson, because that's the way I was brought up. You know, what is the lesson in this? What am I supposed to learn? What could I be doing different? What could I have done differently in that situation so that would not have been the situation? And just evolving from those thought processes. And it wasn't something that happened overnight. It's just something that innately I was doing because of my upbringing. And then now that I'm older, I understand how to really put the thought into action and really take those thought processes and move them around for the benefit of me. Mm. Yeah.
So what was that like on the real world?
You know, that was a long time ago.
What do you remember from that?
Yeah, what do you, like, what were the sort of things that you really learned in that environment?
I remembered from that environment how to be adaptable, because you take people who probably wouldn't talk to each other, you know, who probably would not be able to coexist or never have, and you put them in this closed space, and that really taught me how to... you know, just adjust and reassess situations that normally I would not have been privy to be able to make some, you know, some good friends and some good memories and some good moments. Rather,
are you still in touch with some people from
I only talk to three people from the show.
That's a white guy, stupid white guy, Spunk Punk.
Well, Puck came after me. He was season three.
Okay.
He was season three.
I remember Puck.
Yeah, and he came after me. But yeah, I still talk to at least three of them. Now, it's not every day. We're not on the phone every day. But, you know, we can have a conversation if we see
Catch
each other.
Catch up every once in a while.
Yeah.
Tell us about the housewives, basketball wives. That's the real shit.
Oh. You weren't going to let me make it, huh? You weren't going to let me make it. What you want to know? Because, I mean, it's so much. I've been doing that show for 9 years.
That's brilliant shit.
What was after? So when did that? Hold on.
No, you got to think about this. This is big.
This is brilliant shit. What was the first year of that, of Basketball Wives?
The first year for me was 2010. The first year for the show was 2009.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So that's, it's more of the same. I mean, like, nobody's reinventing the wheel. They're just adding their spoke.
Are you tired now?
I am.
Yeah?
I am tired. 9 years.
And they got you as a bad motherfucker now for 9 years. Well, you going to change your relationship? You going to change your image before you get off the show?
I have...
You're change your religion. You're not the religion, but you're going to change your... You might go to religion. You're going to change your
image. I have diligently been working on using reality TV as a mirror to see when things haven't been... you know, up to par, or how I know they, how I should act in certain moments, and readjusting.
They got to end this shit with you being a queen, a nice person. You live with love in your heart.
Well, I have, I've always had love in my heart.
I know that, but that's how the image has to be. They can't leave you off the
dragon. You're on screen image.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty good, because, you know, it took me 9 years to get to a point of realizing that, you know, an idiot is a person who gets up doing the exact same thing, thinking it's going to be a different outcome. And so certain relationships and dynamics on the show, always, no matter what we did.
That's not an idiot. That's a crazy motherfucker.
That's crazy motherfucker. Yeah. Real talk.
Keep doing insanity.
You know, keep doing the same
insanity.
Shit. We're going to keep trying to do this.
Shit. Get some different shit
and it ain't gonna be different, you know. So it took me 9 years to figure out this shit is not going to be different. And so I had to implement some, you know, some conditions for myself to be able to.
Life tools of life.
Yes. Yes. In order to be able to stay there this long. But, you know, this is my last year with that particular franchise.
What do you think you want to do after that?
You know, I like reality TV. So, you know, it's not that I'm going away from reality TV. I'm entering in back into more scripted programming, potentially do another reality show, just not with that set of ladies. And then producing content, you know, to give people opportunities.
Did some of the girls, some of the guys that you were friends with, are you not friends with them now because of the show?
Are you talking about the people on the show?
Yeah.
Yes.
Fuck. I would think, come on, let's get some money. We can make some money doing this shit. Now they're not friends.
You would think that you could make money. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, we're coworkers, and you hope to build a friendship. You know, you hope to have some camaraderie there. But, you know, sometimes people don't have that mindset. You know, and so when people don't have the same mindset as you, if you're not like-minded, if you're not equally yoked in that sense, then it's not going to work no matter what.
Talk about the vulnerability you have to be willing to show being on reality TV.
That is the only way that you're going to make it in reality TV. And I think now that the genre has expanded and people see so much content in the reality space, they recognize when some shit is fake. They recognize when you putting on for the camera.
I'm loving hip hop. Some of that's getting fucking scripted fake shit. Everybody can't be that mad. You can't be mad for that long.
Long. You know what I mean? Exactly.
If you're mad for more than 3 minutes, you're faking.
Or it's not that deep. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? For you to be, you know, running across the room and throwing anything.
Flying off the table.
Right. Exactly.
The bodyguard, the plant, just in case you fly off the table and hurt yourself.
It's not that moment. And I think for me, that's what has kept me in the genre since 93 to now, is that level of authenticity and genuineness. I never sugarcoat anything that I'm going through in my life. I never put on airs. I never, you know, like, I'm an open book with that, because I feel like, let me tell my shit, because somebody find out some shit about you, then they run in, now with social media, they run into the blogs and trying to plant stories and all shit. I'm going to tell the shit myself. Yeah. That way y'all can't use it against me. And so that's always been my thought process all the way through, from Real World to now.
Yeah. It seems like you just have to be. You have to be willing to just be totally open.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you been on the show?
Yes, he has.
Wow. How's that for you, man?
Man, really, it's not my thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm more of a low-key in the back guy. You know, do my thing and stay out the way. But whatever babe needs, you know, I'm there for.
Do you ever get a little upset that you see her going through shit on the show?
All the time, Mike.
Really? I would think so.
Be one to do some shit, you feel
that.
I believe
that. Never do that.
Especially when you know the real, what's really going on. And
Yeah, it's tough.
It's real tough, bro.
I believe it, man.
Real tough.
What do you do?
Man, actually, I'm a online entrepreneur. I have a couple online businesses.
Sweet.
E-commerce. And I also flip real estate back in Houston.
Awesome, man. Mm-hmm. You from Houston?
Yep, from Houston. Awesome,
man. How do you guys meet each other so far away?
Oh, man. One day a friend of mine and I, we went out to eat. We was hungry, so we stopped at a spot called Papa Do's.
Oh, yeah, Houston, I know Papa
seafood
Do's.
Spot. So, you know, we pull up and we see her and her friend walking in, right? So my partner, you know, he's a dog. He want everything. So he talking to her friend or whatever. So long story short, we end up coming in, and we were trying to be seated. She seen me again. Like, okay, he's 6'5", he chocolate.
This is what she's saying, right?
He in shape.
This is what she's saying, right?
Say, you guys come sit over here. So, you know, I'm like, cool. So we sit down, you know, we just eat, talk, mingle.
Hit it off,
man. And later that night, we met up, talked for like 3-4 hours, just talk.
That's awesome. Love
and
that.
Been like that ever since, bro.
I love
so,
that.
So I don't know, man. It was
that's
just
a great
fit.
Story. Yeah, that's perfect. Bro.
Yeah. So if you want to give your version.
I mean, that was good enough. I thought you, that was good enough.
That was solid.
Yeah, it was a solid, you know, rendition.
Guy explanation.
Happened. Yeah. Yeah, it's the guy explanation. Yeah,
I was talking good, to my wife today, this morning. We got up this morning, probably 4 months. Babe, why do you think people are meant to be together? Mm. Like, why are you together? You know what I mean? What is it? Why are we still together? We're just together. We just don't leave each other. We call it fuck. We don't sex. Say we don't do nothing. We're just together. We're together. We finish each other's sentences. We're just together. Mm-hmm. Why do you think it's like that? Mm. You know what I mean? Then we get old and we die together.
And what did she say?
Huh?
What'd she say?
She had no idea either. But she said it's meant to be. She said that we live many lives together. That's why.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She believed that we live many lives together. I said, what happened to my other wives, my other girlfriends? Do you think they think the same thing? Mm. You know, what happened to them? What happened to one night stand and all those good? What do they mean in my life? Mm. What was that all about? All the people you've been, what did they mean in your life? Why did we have to go through that to be here?
Well, I think you go through that because a lot of us don't recognize when you get that right moment, when the universe has aligned all of the forces for you to be with the person that you're supposed to be with. Now,
the first person they met, they with them for the rest of their life.
But it's not like they haven't had experiences.
No, I'm talking about some people. No, they just met the first time. These guys, we met each other, and we died together.
Yeah.
I'm like teenagers.
Yeah, there's things like that.
There are things like that, but here again, they still had experiences before they got together. I'm not particularly talking about experiences in other relationships. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about life experiences where once they got together, they were able to recognize this is the fit. Mm-hmm. Some of us aren't, you know, we don't have that moment. So you go through the one night stands. I had to go through the Kenny Anderson. I had to go through the other people so that now I have testimony when I meet the person that is really supposed to be my fit, my person. I'm able to recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have challenges, if you have arguments, if you have disagreements, if you have all of that shit, not saying that that's not in relationships, but I'm talking about the minute you meet somebody and you see, like, this shit is tumultuous, that's not your fit. But you needed to experience that so that once you got with your fit, you knew how to recognize it. That's what I think. I don't think anything is not without purpose.
Absolutely. I had this dream.
Whoa, Lord.
That started when I was 7 years old. And the dream was I was chasing this girl through an arcade in a tent.
Okay.
And I was never quite able to catch her, and she would run out of the tent into this green meadow. And by the time I got out there, she was already in a carriage, like gone.
What did you do with the quarter?
I don't know. I was just in love with her. And I had this recurring dream. And when I was 17, and I got to the University of Arizona, I saw my future wife there at this student orientation, this athlete orientation. And the same energy of that girl from my dream,
is what you
was
experienced.
In my wife. And she wouldn't date me. I was in love with her. I was this is the girl from my dream.
You were a stud back in the day. She heard your reputation.
Yeah. She did. Yeah. There was that, and she didn't want anything to do with a football player.
Yeah, I don't want no parts.
Yeah. So it took years before she actually went on a date with me, and then we were inseparable from then on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know if it's like that for everybody, but it's just, you know, it's like you were saying, Mike, like we were meant to be together. Our spirits were entangled, and the more I go through life, I think about how we were together in past lives. Uh-huh. And, you know, our life now is about rectifying things that happened in past lives and unwinding trauma and pain and coming into love and light.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, our relationships are cosmic, man. They're spiritual. Yeah, they're divine. Okay. Yeah.
When it works. Wow. When it's good. Absolutely. When it's good.
And it can be hell.
Yeah.
You know, it can be. I mean, relationships can just be hell, you know.
True.
So, no, it's a fascinating thing, you know.
We could talk for hours.
Yeah, absolutely. But you're on a new show, Tales?
Tales, I was a guest star on Tales.
A guest star on Tales.
My latest show is called Saints and Sinners.
Okay.
And that's on Bounce
Who's
TV.
Who's on that?
That is with Vanessa Bell Calloway, Keith Robinson, Clifton Powell. And another show called Are You Sleeping with Octavia Spencer and Michael Beach, executive produced by Reese Witherspoon. So
sweet.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. Yep. I'm excited.
What's Saints and Sinners about?
Saints and Sinners is about the black church.
Mm.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
And all the shenanigans that really happen behind the scenes of the black church.
Interesting.
You know what's so interesting about the black church? What do you do? What do you do? I'm a reverend, right? And I got all this power. I'm preaching, and people are coming to talk to me. The beautiful ladies are talking to me at night about their problem. What do I do? I'm just a fucking creature of life. What do I do? I'm a fucking human being. How do I handle that? What kind of discipline did I develop from fucking preaching to handle that?
I don't know. It depends.
Yeah.
Depends.
Well.
You know?
Yeah. Because I think they are, supposed to be leaders and guiders of a flock. That's really what the church really represents. It's like, you know, I'm supposed to take the word and then deliver it to you. And so when you have issues, you come to me and I refer back to the word to try to help you or guide you through that. What Saints and Sinners does is speaks to your point of like, well, shit, I'm just human too. So how the fuck, I'm trying to help you and now I'm fucked up over here. That's really what it is about. The show is about. It's like they're actually going through things too. They're suffering too. Their life is in shambles because we're all just human, right? And so we kind of touch on those things.
I love that.
Yeah.
Humanizing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a lot of spiritual leaders are like crazy, you know, sex addicts and all of that stuff.
Oh, yeah. You guys, do you remember when Kirk Franklin came out and said he was addicted to porn?
But how are you not addicted to porn when you have people worshiping you? And then something go by and you see a touch and you say, wow, I'm married though. But what am I doing? How did I put myself in this situation? Why did you do this to me, God?
Mm. Yeah.
You know, why did you do this?
Or maybe it's like, thank you, God.
Yeah, or thank you.
Thank
it could be
God.
Either way.
You
but
hey, listen, I don't
it's
think,
probably more of what you said.
I think when it's an addiction or something like that, that's pain. So I think he's saying, why me? Why did you make me dance so good? Why did you make me so talented? Mm-hmm. Now it's a problem with him liking himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he knows what he's doing is wrong, and he's supposed to be representing God. But what is representing God? God can represent himself. What created God? Huh? God created himself. God is everlasting. There's no beginning, there's no end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm just talking about God as we know God, his existence, his energy.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's inconceivable what that truly is.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
True. But everybody's got something. Yeah. Everybody's got something.
No,
I was addicted to porn.
That's what makes people beautiful.
Right, babe?
That makes people beautiful.
I was.
It makes people beautiful. You know, we all hide in fear. We're afraid of what people think about it. We're afraid about our reputation. Our whole existence is fear in this world. The baddest motherfucker on this planet is afraid. He may not be the baddest motherfucker on the planet. You may find out something about him and say, you're not the baddest motherfucker on the planet. Our secrets that we hide.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize that everybody's afraid.
Everybody's afraid of something.
We're afraid of us. We're afraid of ourselves. We don't know who we are. We might betray ourselves. We don't know.
Well, that speaks to that poem, like the mask, right? We all wear a mask at some, you know, every day we wake up, we put on the mask.
Yeah, the illusion of ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Who do we think we are? Mm-hmm. Really, who do we think? I don't know who the fuck I am, but I really think that I'm somebody. But why do I think I'm somebody special? Because I come from nothing special. My mother, my father, my neighborhood, there's nothing special. It's the crippling. I should be embarrassed to say I'm from there. But why? What makes me think I have people? The world should see me. The world should know my name. The world should even acknowledge me. What the fuck makes me think that? Who the fuck am I? Why do I think that way? I hate the way I think that way, but I love the way. I love the fact that I think that way. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. But what is special, man? Like, what is unique? It's all your experience, you know? These are sort of human-created ideas, you know, that saying Brownsville isn't a special place. It's pretty fucking special and unique, man. Yeah.
No, to me it is, but to the masses of the place, you're born in that filth.
But that's culturally...
That's all I know.
All of that thought is a whole culturally created idea. How could you grow up in Brownsville? You know? Well, who are those people?
Right.
Oh, because what? You grew up in Beverly Hills? You're special? Fuck that.
But, you know, I look at my life, and I look at my mother and father, and I say, how could they really think they could raise children? The lifestyle that we lived, how could they even dream we could raise some kids and we could have a good life? Everything was by accident. They didn't love each other.
Well, I don't think many people who have kids think they know how to raise them.
That's a whole separate conversation because, you know.
Well, I would think, what makes them think that they could raise children?
Because you're supposed to procreate.
They didn't live together?
Because you're supposed to.
They didn't love each other. They didn't live together. What made them think they could raise kids? They had three kids together. What made them think they could have kids?
Because you're supposed to.
Yeah.
Unconsciously. Yeah. It's what we do. It's what we're here. One of the things we're here to do.
Hmm. So we're vessels, pretty much.
Yes.
Huh? Yeah.
And that's why some people aren't prepared. Some people are feel prepared.
Some people kill their kids.
Yeah, true tea.
Some people get, what the fuck is this? And they just can't handle this. I don't want that. It's giving away. I don't want that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so those are weird scenarios I have in life. What the hell these people were thinking?
Man, I think it's good stuff. It's good stuff, you know, that you're processing. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm.
How did I come from, like, being strung out on drugs? How did I get here? How did I get this company and everything start working out? How did I get married to my wife? How did I, fucking marriage work out for 10 years? How did this end up in like this? Love 10 years, I can't live without you shit.
Because I think certain things are destiny. You guys don't believe in that, like certain things are supposed to be what they're supposed to be.
I believe that we're not steering the ship. I believe something.
And that's destiny. That's what destiny is that you're eventually going to find your way to your purpose or your calling or the people that are supposed to be in your life. That is what destiny is. You know what I mean? So, yeah, nobody is steering the ship, but the footsteps are ordered. And so you're eventually going to be where you're supposed to be.
I think that... Tying that back to, you know, the people who get crushed by life, you know, you have to be willing to just take another step.
Take another step. Exactly.
You know, just be in the flow and to allow the universe's destiny for you to unfold.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because nothing I've ever done over the course of my life was what I thought. It didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. It didn't happen. Yeah. You know, I put my plan of action, you know, a plan of attack into action and tried to do the thing. And every time I tried to do what the hell I wanted to do, it was fucked up. And then the minute I just released, you know, and just said, hey, okay, I'm going to have my thought process of my goals and what I want to achieve, but I'm not going to try too hard to steer how those things will.
Stay out of my own way.
Yes, get out your own way.
Get out of your own way, man.
There it is.
My wife said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this reality. We're going to write some shows. We're going to do this. I said, okay, we're going to do that. We're going to do that. And this is where we at. We got here now.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I don't know how that should work, but we're here now. We got our own shit. We got our own fucking ache. We got a fucking Tyson Ranch. We got a whole music festival. Shit. Poof.
You see?
It's just blowing up, brother.
You see?
What the fuck happening?
You don't have any expectations.
That's it.
Not at all.
When you don't expect anything, you can't be disappointed.
Yeah.
All you're doing is just working and moving within the energy and the space. And if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And that's when people put too much pressure on their lives to like if I left here and said, shit, babe, I want a Tyson Ranch and I want to be able to have room with shit and do interviews
Ranch.
And shit. You know, the Tammy Ranch. I want that shit. And then I start trying to work towards that. If that's not what the fuck I'm supposed to be doing, it's never gonna be this.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? No matter how hard I try. Oh, yeah. I can't find a cameraman. Oh, the people late. I can't find a building. You know, it's never gonna work out. Mm-hmm. You know, so everybody's gotta stay in their lane and stay their course because what's meant for you is not necessarily meant for me, and what's meant for me is not necessarily meant for him, and so on and so forth. But the problem with society is people come here and they look at you and go, shit, if Mike got that shit, I can have it too. That shit must be easy to get.
Hey, listen, it's true, but with a price.
Yes.
But that's what people don't know, because they're looking at just surface.
Yeah.
And they don't know the blood, sweat, and tears and the cost and everything it takes to make this work, and how the people have to be really fuck with you and rock with you to make sure that they show up every day to make this shit work. They don't know that. They're just looking at what's happening on the out, the gloss and glitz of it all. And that's where people fuck up, because that's what they do. They look at the gloss and the glitz or the aesthetic of something and go, just like the bitches who's getting their asses done. You look at a bitch and go, shit, I want that. That shit. This bitch has got 2 million followers on Instagram and she posting ads and shit and getting paid. I'm going to give me some ass. And then the bitch end up looking like a potato. You know, that wasn't your shit to do.
100%. You know what I believe in stuff since I've been in entertainment business? I consider boxing. And
yeah, for sure.
Yes.
I said all this reality show. And only the people that last on the top are the toughest and hardest ones. Mm. The coldest, hardest ones that's used to self-deprecation and everything. They just determined to get their goal and accomplish their goals. Those are the ones that make it.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Mm. That's what life is about. You know what I mean? Sacrificing self to accomplish your goals.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Whatever your goals are, good or bad, but you got to sacrifice yourself.
Yeah.
You got to get out of your own head.
I mean,
focus on that goal.
Mike, I know this was true for me playing football, because so many times along, I hated it.
You can speak to that, babe.
I fucking hated it. You know, the fucking grind and the violence. And man, I got to go out here 5 days a week and practice and beat the shit out of these guys and knock heads with these guys so I can play in a game on Sunday when I love it. And in my head, I'm aspiring to be this gladiator and this warrior. But I was just like, so many times, it was just a deep love-hate relationship. I mean, but it was the universe carrying me along.
Definitely, big-time universe.
Saying, this is what you need to do right now. You know? This is who you are right now. I'm sure you felt like that along the way.
Hundreds of times.
To that first championship.
And I had to go to my ego. I had to go deep and talk into my ego and say, they'll watch me forever. People will talk about me forever. They'll name their children after me.
Right.
To get into my ego.
Yeah.
I'm a god.
Yeah.
How dare them even challenge me?
Yeah, I know that feeling. Reggie, you played football?
Yeah, I did.
Awesome. How, where? Hurricanes?
Yeah.
I see you!
Right, and had a little cup of coffee with the Saints.
Nice, man.
Yeah, and around that time, you know, my mother had passed and whatnot.
Mm.
So it was kind of like, just took my drive, you know what I mean, to continue with it.
Shoot.
But
you don't want to do that with no drive.
Yeah, man, football is my first love, bro. You know?
Yeah.
That prepared me for life.
Absolutely, man. Definitely did.
Yeah.
I mean, few other sports where you get your ass kicked, knocked down, and you have to get up every play, you know, and do it again. I love that, dude. The U. Who are you there with?
Man, I was there from 2005 to my last year was 08, so Greg, Olsen, Calais.
Oh, my God.
Kenny Phillips, Mary Weather.
Beast.
Beeson.
Mayweather's in the pros now. Right.
Travis Benjamin, who was on Chargers.
A lot of these guys. All these guys are in the league. Were you there? DJ was DJ Williams a little early?
DJ was before me.
I played with DJ in Chicago. I love DJ, man.
When you was at Arizona?
I was at Arizona from. I was there from 05 to 08.
Oh, okay. So Clarence Fong was before you.
Yeah, he was before me.
He went to high school.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah,
he was a beast. I met him at a golf tournament.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, you just got to let the universe take you where you need to go.
Yeah, what do you want to do? When this is all over and it's done, what do you want to say, boom, this is what I did? What do you want to accomplish?
I think I'm meant to be in the entertainment space. I think I want to be able to put out, like now I'm forging into producing and executive producing. So for me, content-wise, to be able to leave something that, you know, a little Emmy.
Hell yeah, girl.
A little Emmy nom.
Hell yeah.
You know, Emmy win, you know, things like that. I think when anybody produces content, they want it to be recognized, you know, because they put their hard work into it. You know what I mean? So where my projects made people think, gave someone a voice, that's what I'm into right now. Yeah, that's what I'm into.
I love that.
What kind of stuff you think about producing?
I like scripted.
Yeah.
So I want to like tell the stories of my neighborhood, you know, like where I grew up, you know, because I grew up in some hard shit,
you know,
drugs and, you know, family issues and things of that nature, putting, you know, stuff out there like that.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Needs to be
that's
out
not
there.
That's not Hollywood. Hollywoodized,
yeah.
Which is not a word, but you know, just
hey, that's, you know, just made up, you know, a word.
I think the projects like you know, from Days of Old, Color Purple, you know, like where the real story was told and it wasn't glamorized, you know, for public consumption. It was like the real story. Like I would like TV to return back to that, you know.
Absolutely. I think that's a great
like that.
Opportunity for that.
Yeah, yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
But I'll probably do another reality show where it's six bitches fighting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
right,
that's what
so the
people want to see.
But basketball-wise, who's the main troublemaker?
At one point, it was me.
Remember the Spanish girl, the girl with Ochocho?
With Ochocinco? Yes, she has her moments. Yeah. I think over the course of the show, we've all... Mm-hmm. done some shit and been in some shenanigans, you know what I'm saying? So we've all taken a turn. There really is no one person. We've all taken
How
a turn.
How do you describe the basketball wife? Like when you look up, when you see them on television, when you're objective, when you look up, how do you describe them? What do you what,
like if I wasn't on it?
No, just being, I'm taking a look outside, looking in.
Yeah.
I don't, it's mindless entertainment.
Yeah.
I don't really get anything from watching our show because the way our show is designed, it's not formatted for that. You know what I mean?
I think you get a really interesting perspective of humanity. You know,
I don't.
No?
I don't. Not at all.
I see jealousy.
I do, yeah. I see a lot of... It's like a psychological experiment.
But, however,
to me.
I don't know
yeah.
if...
Shame there.
If that were... true, then I would have to say everyone would have to have been authentic and genuine in the moment. And I can't necessarily say that I believe some of these women are telling their real story.
I hear that.
Yeah, be beefing with us. What's her name again?
That I'm always beefing with?
Yeah, what's her name? Come on.
You just said her.
No, that's Spanish.
You don't know? You don't know? Because I don't say her name. Right, so, right, like, cool. So then there.
Okay.
So
she,
let's just go ahead on and give it
named.
Out to the people. I don't fucking say her name.
We're not going
to
talk about it.
So. No, well, even that thing of not being authentic, I think is fascinating that we've created this vehicle in our society where people feel inclined to go and be something. I think that's really fascinating when you can tell when people are fucking just putting on a show, trying to, you know, I don't know, trying to be something, you know? I think that's really interesting that there's this whole thing going on, and it's about, you know, your presence in the digital world in many ways.
But what are we hiding, though?
Everything.
Why? Yeah, I think people are
hiding. People are hiding everything,
yeah, I think
man.
People are hiding stuff.
Because they're ashamed of themselves. They'll think, oh, somebody's going to find out I was a fucking nerd in high school. Or, you know, I was abused or I'm not good enough. You know, because we have this, like, thing that we're not worthy.
And that's why I tell it.
Exactly. You got to just be real.
I just tell it. Whatever
exactly.
it is, I just tell it.
But that's the brilliance of being human, you know? And that's when you're real and honest. That's when people's lives get touched, man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, we had Chris Cyborg on.
Okay.
The last strong female we had in here. And I'm telling you, it was one of our heaviest episodes.
Yeah,
and Mike was going through a lot. And I fucking burst into tears.
Wow.
And I haven't received more positive messages from guys being like, dude, that episode changed my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Seeing you guys open up to each other and that, what you guys were saying, I was in tears.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, because that's, people feel the real emotion,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
like you're saying. I mean, you're going to have a shift in your consciousness through those emotions when you were seeing real and authentic
life. Yeah.
It's entertaining when you see someone putting on a show. You
right.
know? And it's an interesting thing that people feel the need to do that, I think. So that's what I'm saying.
That's a
point. I think that, you know,
that's a point.
I just think that's interesting. I'm not going to tell you what shows I watch because that's embarrassing. As
what
fuck,
do you watch? I want to know now. I want to know what both of y'all watch.
I watch some
of
the Real Housewives.
Okay, that's a great show.
Well, my wife watches it. So I watch
New York
TV.
City, Beverly Hills, Orange County.
So you watch
Atlanta.
The white ones.
I watch Atlanta too.
Like
yeah,
okay.
mostly.
Okay, got it.
I like Potomac.
Atlanta.
The black ones. Yes. Yeah. And Atlanta. Yeah, they're all good.
I can't do much.
I make
of
him
the,
watch them all. You know, I make him watch Atlanta.
It's interesting, man.
Yeah.
It's interesting
yeah,
but
shit.
It's just who we are as people. It's just who we are. I know all those people, not by name and stuff, but I just know all their spirits. I just know people like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. For my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know, Tammy, is there anything else you want to shout
any
out
movies,
before
anything?
We get out of here?
No movies coming up. No
what
movies
is your daughter
coming.
Doing?
I have two daughters, and so one is...
Kenny's daughter. I don't even... Smart,
yeah, they're both man. Kenny's.
Yeah?
Yes, I am. But was not laying it low and spreading it wide and fucking
oldest?
Everything moving.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. But come on, the one I've seen on the show with you.
Both of them have been on the show with me. Well, one's a rapper. One's
that
a rapper.
The oldest one?
No, the oldest one is my academic. She's my person.
So tell me about the rapper.
Yeah, the rapper's the youngest one, but the tallest one, which is why you thought she was the oldest. Okay. But she's doing her music thing. You know, she's trying to make it pop and all that. You
she
watch
got a deal.
She has a distribution deal with Empire. Yeah, but she's still independent.
Who's Empire?
That's a huge distribution arm that puts out content. Yeah, they got Fat Joe and Remy Ma.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah,
dope.
Yeah, yeah. So she's working on it, grinding on it.
Love
you know,
that.
You know.
Do you feel good? You shopping enough? You love life? How's everything going?
Everything's going good. I mean,
how
really
long have you been married.
1 year.
1 year.
Yeah, our anniversary is coming up August 17th.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, yeah, but we were together for four years, and now. Our marriage makes 5 years total.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, but everything's good. You know, I can't complain. And nobody would care anyway. That's the thing people don't realize. It's like, well, I got my own shit going on, so I want to hear your shit, too. But everything's good. Yeah.
People care. People care.
They care.
I don't
then
know.
They're like, oh, interesting.
I don't know. Because I typically, in all honesty, don't want to hear it sometimes. Like, I really do be having my own shit. And so when you call me with your shit, then I feel like, oh, God, now I got the weight of your shit and my shit.
Well, I think that's healthy, but, you know. Well, I think that's healthy.
Thinking our mind, our world is really big, but really, we could probably count on totally how many people we really know and interact with. But we think our world is big.
It's big, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a small circle. I keep it small for a purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys going to be voting, right? Let's just go ahead on and get
fuck
that out the
yeah.
way. Okay,
fuck
just making sure. Just
always.
Making sure.
I'm voting for what?
President?
President.
Mike will be there.
You better be there.
Mike will be in the voting booth.
You're going to be there. We're not listening.
Yes,
it's like,
definitely.
What?
Definitely.
President.
Mike is
this
low
is gonna
key
be good, cause
a serious
I wanna hear,
political
are you a Democrat?
Analyst.
Huh?
Are you a Democrat?
No, I'm a Mikeette. I'm a Mike-crat.
A Mike-a-kin.
A Mike-a-kin.
Yeah.
Okay. I got it. Independent.
I don't like love. I don't like fucking labels and stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
Man, fuck the labels, man.
Well, we do understand. I just want to make sure that we do understand. Did you vote for Trump?
Fuck no.
Oh, okay. Because the way you paused, I was like, oh, Lord, child.
No.
Okay, so we getting him out.
No. Fuck, man. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I'm a little nervous, but I'm excited for...
Any thoughts on the abortion bill?
Oh,
that was just...
God.
Tell me about that. What happened with that?
Well, certain states have taking away a woman's right to choose.
Yeah, that's horrendous. Wrong. That's wrong. It's that's awful. Wrong. It's absurd that in 2019 we're even
having this
that's
conversation.
That's prehistoric. Right?
Yeah, that we're having barbaric. This conversation.
Yeah.
Which speaks to like how you said earlier in the conversation, there are women who are having children and they don't know what to do with them, and some of them are, you know, God forbid, killing them because they're not ready. So now you're going to force them
to have it. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I just feel like
barbaric.
It's unfortunate. I haven't been to Atlanta. Because they're one of the states
Georgia
is one of the states that entertaining.
It's just fascinating.
Yeah.
It's fascinating that we feel a need to, these people feel a need to control that.
Exactly. And they're men.
Let's just talk
about that. It's men who are passing this, you know, when they don't really even understand what it's like to carry a child, to have that responsibility. Because you know what? Most of y'all, not you, but most of y'all gets in the fucking wind. And then we are the ones who, you know, are there for the rest of that child's life.
A lot of us are still in darkness.
True T.
A lot of us are still in darkness.
Yeah.
And I didn't really... Sometimes you don't know you're in darkness till you're in the light.
Till you're in the light.
Yeah.
I've been in darkness for a long time.
That's going to be a caption.
Yeah, I've been in darkness for a long time.
But so to me, it has to be.
How you go
it's a belief
how you go
thing,
say,
right?
No, you keep that baby. No, but I just got raped by my brother. No, keep that fucking
exactly.
baby.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's basically what they're saying.
It's
yeah.
insane.
That's so basically what
fucking
they're saying.
Jail, you fucking bitch.
I feel like if the woman has to keep the child, then the man who raped her, or. If we're talking rape, you need to be castrated. If I have to keep this child, then the father, there needs to be child support laws put into place as well that are standard, primary, focused, so that I'm now got to have this kid, then you also have to contribute and pay for it. If you're not going to be here. You know what I mean?
I don't believe in that. I believe this is a government problem. The government should take care of that kid. And the people should be taxed to take care of that kid.
If they want to have that type of a law?
Well, wait a minute. No, wait a minute. Now, you said the people should be taxed.
If this kid is born, the father doesn't want to take care of it and something, she's just left out there and she can't take care of it. We have to take care of that kid.
Who's we, Mike?
Our society, the government. We have to be taxed.
I don't want to be taxed for other people's children.
I think you should have the freedom to have an abortion if you don't want to have a child.
Exactly.
But she said she had the child, though.
So I don't want to be taxed anymore because we're already being taxed and a lot everything
right,
that comes out of people's checks.
It's like these are the assholes complaining about people on welfare. It's like what
right,
are you talking
but there's
about?
There's going to be more people on welfare. Exactly.
Why? Like so? What is that twisted fucking?
It's power. Trying to have power. Trying to have control. It's an ego trip.
And I think welfare is good till you get your job.
Yes.
You should have on welfare support till you get your job.
Till you get your job. But there needs to be something that says you got to go get a job.
Right.
You got to get a certain amount of time.
Right.
6 months, motherfucker. Get your job. You got this welfare for 6 months.
Yeah.
And you cut off and then you got to deal with some prison time probably. But you got 6 months to find some work. Anything.
Yeah.
Just pay this bill.
I agree.
And who am I to make some rules? I don't fucking know with ninth grade education, but you got to do something. You got to put a fire into somebody to give them the fucking enthusiasm. With enthusiasm, everything comes in play. You just have to have enthusiasm.
Yeah.
You know, people go to work, woe is me. I got to go back to this fucking white man job. You know.
Wow.
No, serious though, really.
But then that, you know, that's another deprogramming because you should be going to work at something you love.
Yeah, but that's not always the case.
I know. But how do people get to that?
They sacrifice.
So you have to work that shitty job
until you can get
a place where you can do the stuff you want to do.
You live on the street until you get the right job. If you don't want to do the shitty job, you live on the streets until you get the right job. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either, man. I don't know. We had that guy. Remember that guy? Andres Pira.
Oh, he was awesome. The homeless guy became the billionaire.
Yeah, he was homeless on the beach in Thailand. And he's a billionaire real estate mogul.
Wow.
And he said that he got his hands on this book called The Secret. You know the book? Mm-hmm. And he was like, this is bullshit. This isn't real. And so, but he was like, as an experiment to prove that it's not real.
Yeah, I'm going to do what it's at. Mm-hmm.
He said, I started with envisioning a cup of coffee because I hadn't had coffee in God knows how long. And he said, I just imagined this cup of coffee. I felt it in my hand. Mm-hmm. I imagined what it smelled like and tasted like. Imagine the feeling of it. And he was like, 2 days later, some dude walking on the beach came up to him and gave him a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. He was like, what? Mm-hmm. And then he just kept going. He was like, mm-hmm. okay, well, and then he was like, I'm going to go get a job. And he fucking envisioned a job. And then he got a job. And then,
That's what happened to me here. Same thing happened to me here. I was in here, I was talking to him. And I said, fuck, I say this shit. I don't know. I said, you know what? I want to get into the tobacco business. Put some CBD in the tobacco and we can synthesize some tobacco or something. Next thing you know, we get a call from British Tobacco.
Wow.
Wow. Oh, yeah, I met those guys.
Ain't that crazy?
It's crazy, bro.
We thought them up.
It's your manifesting powers, bro. I didn't know about British.
But you and tobacco. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, next thing I know they're here.
Mm-hmm.
To do CBD cigarettes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, shit, where is that? Y'all got
we'll get you some, Tammy.
No, we're not going to do that because they don't want to be in the tobacco business. No, they want to be in the...
Hemp.
No, that too, but the...
Edible?
What's that shit that you smoke? Vape business. Vape. They don't want no more combustibles.
Mm.
So and the cigarettes are getting ready to become history and the vapes are going to become...
I don't think so.
I don't think that either, but...
I don't think so.
That was the plan.
Smoking is kind of it's an ancient thing, I think.
More so than
I don't
that.
Think smoking is ever going to go away.
Addicted, it's never going to go away.
More so than being addicted is a habit that you
the
do
habit.
Back
mm-hmm.
and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a ritual.
Yeah, it's
not going anywhere. So just go on and put that CBD on up in there, Mike, because it's not going anywhere.
It's coming.
Listen, we have no idea what's going to happen in the future. We have no idea.
Sure.
No fucking idea.
No idea.
But I just know so many, there's new plants. There's new minerals that's going to be in the future. You know, so I just know the future's really crazy.
Yeah, that's for sure.
It is.
Man, look at all these new, our business. Look at all these new billionaires. Look at all these people coming up. Look at us coming up. This is crazy. How does that happen so fast?
Because it's supposed to.
Yeah.
It's supposed to have.
Yeah, it's divine. Right?
Yep.
You know, it's all in alignment. So it just fucking goes.
5 minutes now? Y'all got 5 minutes.
Well, I'm good.
Awesome. Well, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Instagram, Twitter.
All Tammy Roman?
All Tammy Roman. T-A-M-I
you guys have any kids?
Roman. We do not.
You're going to have anything?
How do I answer that? We've tried. We had 3 miscarriages.
Yeah.
Yes. And so I just felt like I wasn't going to put my body through that anymore. So we make it a surrogate.
Okay.
And do it. Because he doesn't have any kids.
I wish my wife had more kids. I wanted to have more kids.
You wanted to have more?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want two. I want to have more with her.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, Mike, that you have that.
I would love to have his, you know, baby. I mean, it's like we gave it our best shot. And so now we got the eggs on ice. And we're going to, you know, have someone else. Yeah, but you know, you got to be ready.
Great.
You got to be ready.
I would do that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's beautiful too, man.
Mm-hmm.
That we're in that age.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, here, girl, carry this for me. I ain't going to be able to make it.
Another planet one day. Our grandkids maybe be on another planet.
Yep.
So much is possible.
Yeah, everything.
So much is possible.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tammy. Thank you, Reg.
Thank you so much.
You're the man, dude. Thank you so much.
I enjoyed it immensely.
Absolute pleasure. Mike, great convo.
I think this is an awesome show. Hey, what happened to your cousin I used to go out with?
Well, I was going to act like I didn't know nothing about that because I felt like you was acting like you didn't know nothing about that.
No,
so I was just going to mind my business.
I saw on the show with y'all one time.
Yes, very, very
she
long time ago.
She didn't like that shit. She said, this ain't my shit.
Yeah,
she looked
very
totally
long time ago. But, I haven't talked to... Can I say her name? I haven't talked to Shauna maybe in 5 years. 5 years,
that
5-6 years.
In life. You know,
yeah, you just lose contact.
For 10 years, 20 mm-hmm. years, and then you don't talk to them. Never
yeah, before. We lost contact, and I haven't seen her. Mm. But I was telling Kiki, I was like, I've given Mike a lot of money, I've given Mike a lot of money over the years. Like, yeah, I was at all the fucking fights. Like, I paid top dollar for my front row seats.
That's so awesome.
I was balling. I was balling. Now I'm second tier, eighth row, back, you know, but.
How was that like back then when you were balling? You had a lot of friends back then?
Of course, yeah, that's how it is. You know, that's how it is. Everybody's with you when you balling. Yeah, you
that's
know?
For sure.
You had the famous husband and shit back then.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
true. He was balling. Yeah, balling. Yeah, I was balling.
The 80s were crazy.
It was such a good time. Late 80s, 90s, like, is my favorite. You know, my favorite era. It was just good for other reasons than because I was balling, but just like it was just a good time. You know, but yeah.
Totally. You know what make you believe? Like, when you lived in the 80s and 90s, so much time, you didn't think you were gonna die. You're gonna live forever.
Yep.
It's incredible.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Love that.
Yeah.
World domination, nigga.
Boom. Boom. There it
is. I love it. That's it. The final word. Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching this episode of Hot Boxing. I'm Eben Britton.
Mike Tyson.
Tammy Roman.
Peace.
That was awesome.
That was really good.
That was good.